Hey guys, welcome to the SOS podcast. Thanks for joining me again this week. I'm your host, Cece. I hope you're all doing well. Sometimes I feel very dry and am wrestling with ideas of what to talk about and feel like I barely get this thing put out every week. Other times, like this week, I feel like God presents me with so many different things that I don't even know where to start because it's like he's teaching me all this stuff and I feel like I should pass it on. Well, of course I had about 10 different ideas to talk about until I spoke with a good friend of mine today and a light bulb went off and God gave me something else, something new that shouldn't be new, definitely something that I haven't thought about in some time, and something that I believe the church needs to be thinking about at this time specifically in history. If you listened to my last episode, you heard me mention that I got saved a little more than 13 years ago. I was in my mid-20s. Since the time that I've gotten saved, there's definitely been a progression in my faith, as there should be. After justification, we go through a sanctification process. And the hope is that we continue to grow and grow in our faith. And now as we grow and grow in our faith, what happens is we get closer and closer to God. Sanctification is the process of becoming holy, so we're growing more and more into the image and character of God, being able to discern His will, His desire for us, for others, for the world, what our lives are supposed to look like if we're walking them out completely for Him. Now, I can tell you that in the 13 and a half years I've been saved, I haven't been doing that a lot. I think in the beginning, I was really on fire, and I just wanted Jesus, 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 Jesus. That's all I wanted. And after a couple years, there were things that I hadn't dealt with I was still struggling with. I'll be honest, the things that had me really bound and kept me from Christ for so many years were sexual sin and addiction. And although that day that I got saved, that moment of justification, my eyes were opened, and certain desires changed and attitudes changed and the way I viewed the world changed, I was still struggling with things. I still hadn't dealt with them. I still hadn't let them go. I can see now that the person I was back then just really had no idea what it really meant, what it really looked like to be free from sin, to walk in the freedom that Jesus gave me that moment that I came to a saving knowledge of Him. There was a time only several years ago when I really backslid. I'm not sure how many people knew about it or noticed or even thought anything was wrong with me, but I definitely was living a life of compromise. I was trying to serve two masters. One of them I loved and adored and just wanted to be fully committed to, or at least thought that that was my desire. The other one, I didn't want to be committed to at all, but thought, hey, he's just going to be around and I have to deal with it, and God is gracious, so here we go, right? It's the question of whether we should continue to sin so that grace abounds, which of course Paul says we should not. And I sit here today honestly going through quite a transformation in the last 6 or 7 months that I'd been asking for some time, but I'm not sure that I actually desired. But something changed. Something clicked. And my walk now is stronger than it's ever been. And I feel like I understand what it means to be totally committed to God and His will and His desire and His kingdom and His purpose. An important aspect of growing in faith and closeness to God is remembering what it was like, what you were like, when you were not that close to God. You know, our God does not condemn us. Our God forgives our sins, and then they are as far from us as the east is from the west. He sees them no more. He forgets them. But it's important for us to notice what our progress has been. It's important for us to see who we were when we weren't as close to God as we are today, so that we can make sure that we don't go back there. This is a gracious gift, and it's something that I personally crave. I want to be reminded not of the horrible person I was and all the sins I committed, but I want to be reminded of how God's grace has brought me from there to here. I want to be reminded of the times that I've backslidden and that I've compromised and that I've tried to live with one foot in the kingdom of God and one foot in the world. You know, I know someone who told me about someone else who said, I really don't like listening to this preacher because he's always talking about how he used to be this and he used to be that, and he's just always talking about himself and he's never talking about God. And my friend said to her, actually, what he's doing is talking about God. This man, years and years and years after being saved, still cannot believe how good and gracious God was to take him from where he was and bring him to where he is now. And his testimony just comes out of him all the time. That's how he talks about God's goodness, by illustrating his experience. Look, God is so good and so merciful that he was able to do this in my life. And now, one thing that I've noticed as I see God reveal to me how far I've come in my faith, he's also showing me, okay, at one point, you weren't this close to me. So he shows me, okay, you're drawing closer and closer to me. You're getting more and more of my character. You're discerning more and more of my will. That's an awesome thing. But here's a part of that that doesn't feel so awesome. When you are able to look at the person you were and how far away that person was from God, all of a sudden, you start to see this in other people. You start to see how far away other people are from God. Now, when those people are people in the world, that makes sense. They don't know Jesus. Of course, they're not living for him. But what happens when you start to see this in the church? What happens when you start to see this in seasoned Christians? What do you do when you're in the church and you're looking at people in the church and you see some who are clearly compromising, clearly disobeying what God says, either doing things that Jesus tells us not to do or the Word of God tells us not to do, or not doing things that we should be doing? What I'm talking about is not passing judgment on people for not being as far along in their walk as you are. What I'm talking about is the church, part of the church, people in the church, clearly disobeying the Word of God and walking that out as if that's not a problem, as if what they're doing or not doing is just fine. And I'll tell you why this topic even came up for me is I was speaking with a friend of mine, is around my age, and unfortunately he doesn't have a father figure, a Christian father figure, to walk alongside him and mentor him as he grows in his faith. He's been saved about as long as I've been saved. So he says, you know, I've been looking for someone older than myself to serve as kind of a spiritual big brother, and I'm having a really hard time finding that guy. So of course the question is, well, what are you looking for? The answer is, I'm looking for someone who's 15 or 20 years older than I am, who is spiritually where I'd like to be at that point. Next question, okay, well, what's the problem? Why aren't you finding that? And the answer I get is, because I'm realizing I'm not finding anyone who's spiritually where I would like to be in 15 or 20 years. I'm not finding anyone who appears to be really living sold out for God, 100% for Jesus. I'm finding spiritual growth that's stalled. I'm finding people who are compromising on issues that are not gray. They're clearly black and white in the Bible. And I'm asking God, what is going on? Where are the men, the fathers, who are supposed to be leading me in my faith? And that made me think of a scripture. I'll be reading in Luke 18, starting in verse 1. Jesus here is giving us the parable of the persistent widow. In verse 1 it starts, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones, who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" That last line, that last sentence, is what struck me in my conversation with my friend. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in the earth? And the reason I thought about that is because today, as we look in the church, do we find faith? If we're struggling to find faith within the church, it should be a concern for us. Because what if Jesus comes back today? Will he find faith? Well, what is faith? The faith being talked about here is faith in Jesus, who he is. But this is the real Jesus. See, the question is whether our faith is in the real Jesus or simply our idea of him. The question is whether our faith rests upon the one true God or what we think the one true God should be. Are we living in truth? Are we seeking truth? What is the condition of our hearts? What's wrong with our church when a 35-year-old man can't find someone to mentor him in his faith because no one appears to be living up to the Word of God the way we should be? And again, this question is not coming from a place of judgment, because it's a question we can ask about ourselves, and we should be asking about ourselves. Spiritually, are we growing? Spiritually, are we committed? Are we compromising? If so, where have we compromised and why? There's a problem in our church when a 35-year-old man can't find an older, more seasoned Christian to mentor him because everyone he comes across appears to be living in ways other than the way God wants us to live. I guess the question is, what on earth is going on with us? How have we been able to get to this place? What has happened to our fire? What's our focus? This scripture clearly tells us that God desires to bring about justice for his chosen ones, to the faithful. But are we being faithful? This is not a question about whether they're being faithful. I know the story is about one person who's looking for faith in others to help him. But the question really is, am I being faithful? What's going on with my walk? It can be uncomfortable, but what happens is, as God shows you how far you've come, and then, as a consequence, shows you where you used to be when you weren't so close to him, you start to see that in other people. And so what do you do? What do you do about it? Do you just pray about it? Do you say something? I can tell you, if I'm not living according to the Word of God, I want one of my brothers to come up to me and call me out and tell me about it, to bring it to light so that it can be resolved, it can be fixed, so that I can be changed. And this isn't because of judgment. This isn't because of someone wanting to point out that someone else is wrong. This is because of love. This is because we are one body. The body of Christ is one body with many members. We are to be united in spirit, in purpose. We are to be functioning together for the purpose and will of God in his kingdom. So when a member of the body is sick, when a member of the body serving another master, hopefully there's another member of the body that can bring that to light, that can address that from a place of love and compassion, not from a place of judgment. But is that happening? And if the answer is no, it's not really happening, then we have to ask ourselves why. Maybe it's not happening because I don't want to bring up the subject and seem judgmental. Maybe it's not happening because I'm not close enough to God to even notice that this problem exists. Whatever the reason is, it's something that needs to be fixed. Father, we need people, Christians, in our lives who can show us what it means to continue to be sanctified and grow closer and closer to you and conform more and more to your purpose, your character, your will, your image. Father, we need these people in our lives. No one here has made it. I certainly have not made it. I haven't arrived. We're not going to get there here. So there's a problem. If I'm looking for someone to show me how to have more faith, someone to show me how to live in a greater way for God, and I can't find that, because it's not like I'm there. I'm in a great place right now, but next week I want to be in a greater place, and next year I want to be in a greater place, and 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, God willing, if I'm still alive, I want to look back at who I am now in Christ, in my walk, and say, wow, God has been so faithful to transform me, to change me so much more, to bring me so much closer to Him. I have so much more discernment, so much more knowledge, so much more wisdom. And if I'm looking for someone to lead me in that direction, I should be able to find that. Church, we have to look within ourselves and around us and ask ourselves, are we living sold out for God? Are we living according to His word? Are we getting it? Are we exercising the freedom from sin that Jesus Christ gives us? You know, Jesus never told anyone, go and sin a little less. No, He never said that. What would He say? Go and sin no more. It's the realization that this thing has no power over me. But before we can exercise that freedom, we really have to desire it. Is that what we desire? Do we really desire to be free from that bondage? Or are we still clinging to some of it somewhere? If we really desire to be free of the bondage of sin, it's available to us. We've just got to walk in it. I kind of feel like what I just said here is all over the place, and maybe I'll start editing this and trash the whole thing and start all over. I don't know. But I feel like God's doing something. I feel like God is sharing something with us that we need to hear, which is no matter how far along we think we've come in our faith, no matter how close we see ourselves being to God, we've got so much further to go. And the question is whether we desire that right now. The weekly songspiration, which I hope will cause us to reflect on where we are individually in our faith and also where the greater church is a song called All to Thee by Tamela Mann. Let us think about where our commitment lies, where our allegiance lies, where our faith truly lies. Father, reveal these things to us. Bring us closer to You. Correct us in love, Lord God, the way we know You do. Father, help us to support each other and correct each other in love when we need that, Lord. Father, bring the church up a level. Bring us up a notch, God. Whatever's in the church that doesn't need to be there, get rid of it. Father, if we are holding on to bondage, if we are holding on to sin, Father, let us let go of that in Jesus' name. Break those chains in Jesus' name, Father. We ask for a great revival, and not a show, Lord God, but a great revival of our spirit in the church, our collective spirit, Lord God. Father, and a great revival in our individual spirit, Lord God. Move things in the heavenlies like never before, Lord Father. The time is coming closer and closer when Your Son will be here, Father. And we pray, we ask, we implore, Lord God, that He find true faith in Him on this earth when He arrives. Father, let that begin today with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Good day, and God bless.
Soul, soul, out, out, soul, soul.